See, some people think they know what the resurrection is. But we're going to tell you the real deal on the resurrection this morning. The first of all, we're going to look at the need for first fruits. And then we're going to look at the identification of the first fruits. And then we're going to see the preeminence of the first fruits.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Christ is the First Fruit. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Christ is the First Fruit.
And not only are we wasting our time here this morning, but we waste our time coming here every Sunday. Because if Christ is not risen, then preachers are just a bunch of babbling buffoons. Some people, well, yeah. If Christ is not risen, I might as well move on to my second career. You say, what's that? A comedian. Somebody said, don't quit your day job. No, seriously, if Christ be not risen, then what need do we have for preachers? If Christ be not risen, just think of all the things that we have, Bible dictionaries, Bible commentaries, we have seminaries, we have churches, we have paraministry groups working all over the world. Just think of all the things that are happening based on the preaching of the resurrection. And if the resurrection is not true, then all those things mean absolutely nothing. That if you've been coming to church for 30, 40, 50 years to hear the man of God preach the word of God, then you just wasted your time. You could have actually been doing something else, because all it was just a nice gathering. If Christ did not raise, Paul says here that the preaching is in vain. That if Christ is not the first fruits, that the preaching is in vain. Secondly, we see that the resurrection or first fruits gives life to salvation. Look at verse 17. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. That the preaching of the resurrection is the key point to our salvation. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection, all you got is a dead Savior. And a dead Savior can't do you any good. A dead Savior might spur on a movement. You know, I think of some of the great people that we've had. Martin Luther King, he's a dead Savior. He led a revolution. He led a revolution that changed the face of our country. But he's a dead Savior. You think of John Kennedy. He revolutionized a lot of things in our country. But he's a dead Savior. And so without the resurrection, Christ is on the same par as those individuals that became martyrs for what they believed. What makes the difference between Christ being a martyr and him being the Savior of the world? It's the resurrection. It's the resurrection. And you know, when you think about the resurrection, without it, there's only two options. There's only two options when we die and leave this life without the resurrection. The first option is that we become like some religions teach, is that you become annihilated, that you just cease to exist, that you are no more. And what's the other option? The other option is that you go to a place of eternal judgment. Those are the only, if Christ be not risen, those are the only two options. Either you become extinct or you go to a place of eternal condemnation. And you know, I think that Curtis Mayfield, you know, years ago, he had it right on this one when he said, without the resurrection, now he didn't say without the resurrection. I'm saying without the resurrection. But Curtis Mayfield said, if there's a hell below, we all gonna go. And you know what? He was half right. Because if there's no resurrection, that's where everybody's headed. Everybody's headed. That what was lost in Adam was regained in Jesus Christ. So we see it gives life to preaching. It gives life to our salvation. Without the resurrection, you have no salvation. And it gives life to those who have died. Look at verses 18 and 19. Then they also who are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That I've been here going on 28 years. And one thing that I've done, and somebody might say, well, that's kind of morbid, Pastor. I don't, you know, but I've got a file cabinet at my house. And one of the drawers is about that long. And every year I put a new folder in there. And whenever I do a homegoing service or a funeral service, you know, there's a difference between a homegoing service and a funeral service, right? Homegoing means that the person went to be with the Lord. Funeral, you don't know necessarily where they went. But this file cabinet, every year from 1990 all the way up to 2018, every funeral or homegoing service that I did, I take the program and I file it away. And so every year, you know, this grows larger and larger. I'm actually going to have to move to another drawer now because it's so full. And I think of all the people, some of them was your loved ones that have gone on before. And Paul said, without the resurrection, that your loved one is perishing. That person that loved you, maybe it was your mom, maybe it was your dad, maybe it was your husband, maybe it was your wife, maybe it was your brother, your sister, whoever it was, that without the resurrection, Paul said, that they are perishing. And would to God to think that our loved ones who trusted in Christ for their salvation are now in a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But thank God, because of the resurrection, we have the assurance that my mom who knew Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, that my mom who didn't have an evil bone in her body, my mom, man, my mom was the sweetest lady that some of you knew my mom. My mom, you know how sometimes somebody will do something bad? And you know how we are, right? Yeah, now I'm just going to be honest. We got some words to say, right? And the words are not very kind. I just think of my mom, you know. I guess in her heart, you know, she was thinking that, you know, that wasn't right what that person did. And my mom would always say, they should know better than that. They should know better than that. And so, I mean, I'm sure that you have fond memories of your mom also, right? Especially if your mom knew the Lord. And to think that person is now somewhere. And let me read again what Paul said. Paul said here, then they also who are fallen asleep, that means those who have died in Christ, are perished. That means that they are suffering right now. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. The need for the first fruits. Let's look at the identification of the first fruits. In verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. If you could put up that slide. Christ is the first fruit. And I went back and I began to think of some comparisons between the first fruits and Jesus Christ. Remember what I said. The first fruits came in the spring. The barley was the first crop to be harvested in the spring. And so first fruits was a symbol of new life. We are all looking forward to spring. We all can't wait for spring. Why? Because what happens in spring? The deadness of the winter has killed everything. But the springtime does what? Brings it back to life again. And so first fruits was a symbol of new life in the spring, bringing life from the dead ground of winter. And Christ is our first fruit. Because what did he do? His dead body went into the ground and it came back to life again. The second thing we see, remember what I told you? That first fruits, it was the first and the best. That you couldn't bring God any chump change up in there. You know, you couldn't bring God any raggedy stuff. You had to bring God with the first fruits. You had to bring the first and the best. Christ. He is the first and the best. Or as Barry White would say, my first, my last, and my everything. Christ was God's first and best. For God so loved the world that he gave, and the Greek word is monogenes. He gave his only begotten son. You know what that word monogenes means? It means his only one-of-a-kind son. That there was not another son like Jesus Christ. That when God gave Jesus Christ, God gave the best. He didn't send Abraham. He didn't send Isaac. He didn't send an angel. God said, I'm sending my best. He loved you enough to send his very best. First fruits. Oh, this is deep. This is deep teaching right here. Because look at this. When they went to the field, right, and they gathered those barley crops and they put that ribbon around it and they cut it, right? And then they took it to the priest and they took it to the temple, and then the priest did the wave, right? He waved it. And you know what they were saying? They were saying, Lord, we are giving you our first. We are giving you our best. Now watch this. Watch this. In hopes that you bless the rest of our harvest. Ooh. 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 God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to step out, and I'm going to give you my first and my best, because I'm going to trust that if I do this, and once that priest waves it, that, you know what, they couldn't even take anything out of the field until the priest waved that before the Lord. And then once he waved it, then they could go partake of the rest. And that was the assurance that God would bless the rest of the harvest. Christ's resurrection from the dead guarantees that his followers will be raised from the dead. That the fact that Christ rose from the dead means that we are going to get up also. And then we see that Christ also is the antidote for Adam's transgression. Wow. Wow. Christ is the antidote for Adam's transgression. Look at verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Adam brought this death into our lives. And Christ, through the resurrection, has brought us life. You see the picture there of a poisonous snake. And what the man is doing is getting some venom or some poison from the snake, because it said that when you get a poisonous snake bite, the only way to treat it is with serum made from the same venom that caused the bite, right? The antidote. If you get bitten by a snake, that you need to find the antidote, and you need to find it quick. We were bit by sin and death. And when Christ died, that was the antidote. That was the venom, because he tasted death for all of us. He tasted death for you. He tasted death for me. And then when he came and rose from the dead, and as many as received him, to them he gave the blood, the power to become the children of God. And so when you died, you got the venom. When you died, you got the serum. When Christ died, you got the antidote. And so all that we lost in Adam, Paul says that we regained in Jesus Christ. And then the third thing that I want to share with you this morning is the preeminence of the first fruits. The preeminence of the first fruits. Verse 23, it says here, but every man in his own order, that we will all be raised. We will all be raised. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, and afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. That Christ is the first fruits. Christ is the first. Christ is the best. And when he got up, God gave us a living king. I was reading the story about Julius Caesar, and he came to Alexandria and the city, and he was shown the coffin of Alexander the Great. And then somebody asked him if he would like to see the coffin of Ptolemy. And Julius Caesar said, I came to see a king, not a corpse. Praise God that we come to see a king. Every Sunday we come to see a king, not a corpse. You know, we don't come to see a dead man. We come to see a living man. And because he got up, we have the guarantee that one day when we die, that when you close your eyes in death, and it's coming. I was preaching somewhere a couple weeks ago, and I said, just like them horses, right? You can hear them. You can hear them in the background. They might be afar off for some, and for others it might be a little close, but it's coming. And it's good to know when it comes that we have the assurance that we're going to get up too. And because Christ got up, we can get up. There was a story about a Muslim who became a Christian in Africa. And some of his friends asked him why he became a Christian. And he answered, he said, you know, it's like this. He said, suppose you were going down a road and there was a fork in the road, and you didn't know which direction to go. And at the fork, there were two men, one dead man and one living. Which way would you choose? And when you think about all the other religions, when you come to the fork in the road, I feel like preaching now. I feel like preaching now. Muhammad, a dead man. Buddha, a dead man. Charles Russell, a dead man. Joseph Smith, a dead man. All the leaders of every religion are dead men. That when you come to the fork in the road and you look down this one road, there's nothing but a bunch of dead men. But all when I look at the other side, I see a living Savior. As we sang earlier, who's in the world today? I know that he is living, no matter what they say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? I came to the fork in the road. I saw a bunch of dead men down this way. I saw a living man that way. I chose that way. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our first fruits. And unless someone be here today and you want to trust something other than Jesus Christ, let me share with you this concluding story. Going to the next thing. Many of us remember a couple weeks ago in the East River in New York City, there was a helicopter that crashed. And everybody on the helicopter was killed except the pilot. Let me read this to you. The New York helicopter crash that killed everyone on board except the pilot was caused by a series of safety failures. The ill-fated flight had been charted for a private photo shoot by 5 passengers. The fuel shutoff valve was intended to be a safety feature, but was accidentally engaged during the flight, forcing the helicopter into an emergency landing. The flotation devices were intended to keep the helicopter from sinking, but inflated improperly, causing the craft to flip on its side and quickly take on water. The harnesses were promoted in advertising to reassure those who might feel skittish about leaning out of an open door helicopter flight, but instead, those harnesses served to trap the 5 passengers in the helicopter, sealing their fate. 3 separate safety features actually worked together to do the exact opposite of what they were supposed to do, and that was save lives. Wow. The 3 security features that was on this helicopter, when you think about it, that the shutoff fuel, it didn't shut off. That the flotation devices deployed inappropriately. And then, you know, we see that the harnesses kept them in. 3 things that were designed to keep them safe on the flight actually worked against them. You might be sitting here today, and you might be trusting your good works. You might be trusting your church membership. You might be trusting the fact that you helped little old ladies across the street. You may be trusting the fact that you keep the golden rule. But just like these safety features, the things that you are trusting in are going to be the very thing that causes you to go down. There's only one way to get into heaven. There's only one way to get into heaven. And that is through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Anything else that you're trusting is going to help to lock you into a system that's taking you down. And so I plead today that Christ is our first fruits. He is the first fruit from the dead. And he is the only way to eternal life. Look inside your heart today, my brothers and sisters. What are you trusting? What are you trusting to get into heaven? Anything short of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of the Feasts of Passover. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Christ is the First Fruit, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Christ is the First Fruit. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Christ is the first fruit. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.